Thank you. Hey, will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Matthew 20, Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual wage, a denarian, he sent them to his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' And they went. When he went out again about noon and again about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual wage, 100 denarii. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual wage, 1 denarian. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage, 1 denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last, the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. May we pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you. You, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So have you been to the Hill Country lately? Any of you been to the Hill? Lorreen, you woke up in the Hill Country, didn't you? Right? Rusty and Paige, you woke up in the Hill Country. Have you all noticed out your way that there seems to be multiplying vineyards and wineries around? Do you see that out where you all are? Yeah, we see that our way. It's like every spring, another... You all see that too, right? It's like every spring, another vineyard sprouts out on the hill somewhere in the Hill Country, right? Lori and I can't get home, y'all can't get home either, without driving by these blue signs on the side of the road that point to a vineyard this way or a winery this way, or hills of grapes, regimented rows of vines heading off every direction. You know, it won't be long before we're calling the Hill Country wine country, right? Maybe some people already do. We do these wine tours around. That's exactly the kind of place Jesus was the day he's telling this story. He speaks in the vernacular of the people he's with. You know, with money changers, he talks money. With fishermen, he talks fish. He's standing in the vineyard this day. He could be standing around Austin, really, around any of our neighborhoods. And I bet if we traded that silver dime-sized Roman coin called 1 denarian or 1 denarius, depending on what part of town you're from, if you traded that silver coin in for a crisp $100 bill, I bet you would be hard-pressed to stamp a date on this story. Jesus' stories are brilliant like this. One of the brilliant characteristics of Jesus' stories is they're timeless, really. They're unfading, eternally relevant. So he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire his workers to tend the vineyard. Man needs some help with his vineyard. Goes out early in the morning looking for day laborers, finds a group standing around the usual place and says, y'all looking for work? Yeah. I'll pay you $100 to come work in my vineyard. They agree on the deal. Hop in. Some of them hop in that truck, and there they go, up the highway, down the road, through the gate, out into the fields they go to work. About 9 o'clock, the vineyard owner is finishing up another cup of coffee, and he's looking up there thinking, oh my, you know, there's more work here to do than I've got help. So he puts down that cup of coffee, and he picks up his keys, and he heads for the truck, and he heads back to town, and he sees a few more people standing around. He says, y'all looking for work? Good, good. Hop in my truck. You work in my vineyard for the rest of the day, and I'll pay you whatever is right. Takes him back out to the farm. But it's a big harvest, bigger than he had seen in years, maybe. And so he has to go back to town at noon and again at 3 o'clock, each time finding workers, each time offering them a fair wage to come work in the fields. About 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I think the landowner might be tired because he's probably been out there helping them too. And it's 5 o'clock, it's been a long day, and there's still work. He's doing the math. We need more help. Grabs those keys, gets in that truck, drives back down to town to see if there's any workers down around. He finds some workers. You know, if this were Dripping Springs, he would have pulled up on Mercer Street, which is our downtown. Yeah, downtown. Dripping has a downtown. It's like 5 buildings on either side of Mercer Street. These guys stand out in front of the Dripping Springs equipment supply waiting for somebody to put them to work. But you know, by 11 o'clock, these guys don't stand around there very long. I don't know if they go home or they get tired or they go somewhere else to look for work. But these guys in this story, it says, 5 o'clock, and they're still standing around, waiting for somebody to put them to work, hoping somebody could give them a job. Why are you all still standing around here not doing anything? Well, sir, nobody will hire us. I'll hire you. Hop in. Boom, they go down the road, puts them to work out in the field, and sure enough, they get out there to work. And at the end of the day, when the harvest is in, which is about an hour later, the landowner calls the foreman and says, call those guys in, give them their pay. Oh, yeah, hey, and start with those guys we got last. Pay those last guys first. And so the foreman brings out these envelopes, and the guys come in, and these guys who've been there for an hour start thinking, maybe $7, $8 for the day. Well, I hope it's $7 or $8 for the day. And the foreman hands them an envelope, and inside this envelope is a crisp $100 bill. They slide that thing out, and there's Ben Franklin looking at it. No sooner than they spot old Ben in this envelope, holy smoke, I was here for an hour. Well, word gets down the line. I don't know if somebody said, holy smoke, it's $100, or if somebody's looking over their shoulder and says, that guy got $100. Well, I've been here 3 hours. Let's see, I'm going to get $300. And the guy behind him says, I've been here 6. I'm going to get $600. The guy back here says, I've been here 9 hours. I'm going to get $900. And finally, these guys in the back of the line, let's see if I got here at 6 in the morning. It's 6 o'clock right now. It's $1,200. $1,200 to pick a guy's grapes? Who is this guy? You guys see this guy? Who is this? Where am I? What does the label look like on the side of this wine bottle, really? But that's not what happened, and you know it, right? Every worker finds one crisp $100 bill in that envelope, no more and no less. And that's when things ignite. Things start looking real ugly. One of the workers who's been there since early morning, 12 hours working in the sun, he blows up, basically. Hey, man, this isn't fair. Those guys got here an hour ago, and you gave him a $100 bill. I've been here all day. I've hauled in so many grapes. My hands hurt. It's hot. Have you been out there? It's hot out there, right? And I don't know if the other people start gathering around and thinking, yeah. But it doesn't rattle the landowner. The landowner says, friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't we agree? $100 for a day's work, right? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give this one who was hired last the same as I give you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I'm generous? And then Jesus says, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I love this parable. Something about it right now, where I am growing and not growing, where I'm stuck, this thing sticks to me. It's one of my favorite parables, maybe because of the way it gets under my skin. Does it get under your skin too? Yeah, this is not right. Maybe I like this one right now because I know these people. You know, I know them well. That's me in there. And it's You too, isn't it? Yeah. Wow. We know this story so well. Jesus tells us this story in Matthew's gospel right after that rich young guy comes up to him and asks him, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Like there's something you can do to inherit something, right? And that question comes right after the disciples' question, who can be saved? Who? Or Peter's question, which is right before that one, what will become of us? All these questions are about what will be, or what happens at the ending age, or who can be saved, or what we have, about kingdom come. And you know what? Jesus' answer to every one of these questions is exactly the same. It won't be what you expect. The rich, they won't be the first ones through that door, and the poor won't be the last. The ones who hardly worked won't be the last, and the ones who worked the hardest won't be the first. It won't be what we expect, because we expect God to play by our rules, don't we? And God insists on playing by God's rule. Our rules are the rules of justice, what's fair, right? God's rule is grace. It doesn't say so in the story, but the denarian wasn't just the usual daily wage. It's what it took to put the bread on the table and to pay the rent, to keep the family alive. That's why there are rules in that Bible about not waiting to pay somebody who works for you until tomorrow. Tomorrow could be too late to pay these people. So in this parable, Jesus tells of the owner who doesn't pay these workers what they deserve. The landowner pays them what they need. What they need. And the ones who worked an hour need just as much as the ones who worked all day. Well, if they need money so bad, shouldn't they get there earlier? Shouldn't they have been standing out there on that curb? Where were they, right? But you got to remember that that owner pulled up at 5 o'clock asking, why are you all still standing here doing nothing? No, nobody would hire us, sir. Nobody will put us to work. Maybe they didn't look like the kind of people that we want to put to work. Maybe they didn't look trustworthy. Maybe they didn't look like hard workers. Maybe they were dirty and smelly. Maybe they didn't have an ID card on them. In this story, they are called to the front of the line to receive their pay before everybody else. And in that envelope is exactly what they need. It's not fair. Of course it's not fair. It's grace. Grace. But you and me, we want things to be fair, darn it, don't we? We set up systems to measure fairness and justice, right? We value justice. We demand justice, don't we? Have you heard us when we want something done right? Crucify that guy. Justice! We want justice to roll down like Niagara Falls, pour down, thunder down. Hey, have you seen that old lady, Justice, who stands out in front of the courthouse? Have you seen her out there? You've seen her on TV maybe or on the big screen. She wears this blindfold, and she's got the scales out in her hand. She stands out there. Have you seen her? Yeah, some of you have seen her. The scale is up there, but you know this image doesn't always work because you have to have something to put something up on that scale, right? What if you don't even have justice to put on the scale? We wealthy people who have plenty to put on that lady's scale or to fix the scale in our favor, which we do sometimes not even knowing it. And sometimes we fix it knowing it. Most people in the world, they don't have anything in their pockets or anything in their hands to lift up there and put on Old Lady Justice's scale. 15 million kids in the U.S. 15 million children last night went to bed hungry. Mama, my tummy hurts. I think I'm hungry, Mama. Shh, child. Go to sleep. Shh, hush. I'm hungry, Mama. Shh. We who have so much. And we like to measure what we have. And we like to look over the neighbor's fence and see what they have. And to see what other people don't have, don't we? And we even put up fences around our stuff to protect our stuff. And we like being independent and self-reliant. We are a lot like that rich young guy who shows up in chapter 19, just before today's story. You remember him? Teacher, it's said over there, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Keep the commandments, Jesus says. Well, which commandments do I have to keep? Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your mother and father. Oh, yeah. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Man sighs, and so do we. I've kept those promises. I've kept all those. What still do I lack? And Jesus says, if you wish to be perfect, sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. The man's shoulders drop, and so do his eyes. And if we're honest, ours do too. Young man walks away, Matthew says, grieving, for he had many possessions. Truly, I tell you, Jesus says, it'll be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, Jesus says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than to enter the kingdom of God. And you know, ever since Jesus said that, preachers have been trying to make this easier for you to hear and for us to hear. You've heard us slide around this thing, slip it in. We try to make it easier for the sake of wealthy people in our congregations who could be offended by this saying and walk out before the offering plate comes by. I've seen it happen. Why do you think that rich young ruler came up to Jesus that day asking about the kingdom of heaven? Why would you walk up there? Doc, you know, I've got this tight spot right here. It's going out into my arms. And, Doc, I'm not sleeping too good at night. I can't get up. I can't even sleep in the bed. I get up and sleep in the recliner, Doc. Doc, it really gets tight. I can't breathe. You think it's serious, Doc? Doc, can you? Maybe that's why he came and fell at the feet of Jesus. Or maybe he was on his way home from the office. And some kids, street kids, caught him, tugged him on the coat on his way to his car. Mister, you got some change? A couple of pennies? We're hungry, mister. Do you got anything you can give us? We're hungry, mister, mister. Mister, can you hungry? Get away, kid. You're wrinkling my clothes. Go on. Or maybe he drives by one of those guys with the signs or the ladies with the signs on the side of the road. He gets home in time to hear his wife say, as she scrapes plates of food into the disposal, I don't know what we're going to do to get these kids of ours to eat. And he's sick of it. He's sick of it. It's sad, really. Up and down the corridor of the hospital with a handful of $20 bills, stopping every orderly and nurse and doctor saying, hey, there's a little something extra in here. If you could, that's my wife back there in 320. We've been married 41 years. Here's a little something extra. If you could just help, could you please look in on, help her, give her a little extra. Mister, your money doesn't amount to a hill of beans here. We'll do what we can for your wife. I feel sorry for the guy. No wonder he shows up at Jesus' feet that day. Here he is with palace and patio, and all of a sudden, the roof leaks and the rent is due. To live under the cloud of prosperity every day, what a weighty thing to do. What are we going to do with all this stuff? Fred Craddock says this, the magnificence of God's promise is lost in the poverty of its achievement. I wanted all this. I have all of this. Now what? Flaubert says, of all the winds that blow on love, the demand for money is the coldest and the most destructive. Maybe Jesus tells this story because he hears us talking about justice and about us wanting what's fair. Maybe it suggests to Jesus that we are people who believe that if we work hard out in the vineyard, then we should get what we deserve. But I got to ask you, do you really want what you deserve? I don't want what I deserve? Is there anyone in this room who thinks God owes you heaven? Is there anybody in the room who believes you can buy your way in or get a fast pass to the front of the line or get the VIP seating or one of those beautiful boxes up there? When it comes to heaven, we hold out our hands like beggars. Everyone, billionaire next to the pauper children in India. Beggars, every one of us. But you know, we're not so good at that, are we? In fact, you and we've spent our whole life not being that, haven't we? We do not want to need anyone or anything. And if we're not careful, that creeps into our relationship with God. God, I'll pencil you in on Tuesday. I'm going to pencil you in Sunday between 11 and, well, you know, maybe just 11:45 and 10:45. I don't really need you until, We who have so much have so much. And we hate to ask for help. And maybe this is exactly why the last and the least get there first. They don't have anything in their hands, right? But we who have so much stuff, so dang much stuff in our hands and in our lives that our hands and our lives are already so crammed full of everything that we don't really need instead of what we can never buy or ever achieve, that which only can be received. And then we put up a fence around what we've got to protect our stuff and to protect the people that come behind us. And really, we find ourselves fenced in that little fence, and it gets smaller and smaller every day. And you know, every one of those vineyards I drive by has a fence around it. That's probably a good idea. You know, the deer could get in there and eat some of those grapes. Or somebody who's hungry could come by and pick some of those grapes and eat them. Hey, do you think heaven has a fence? Is it barbed wire? Is it electric? Is it one of those really tall ones that keep the deer from running over? Is it a white picket fence? Even though we hear and tell these stories about St. Pete standing at the gate with that clipboard, you're in, you're not, you know. You know, we laugh about this. I can't imagine. My brain won't do it. I'll start to paint the picture of a pearly gate, and it won't stick. It just flushes out of my mind. I can't see a gate or a wall or a barbed wire fence anywhere. Can't even say it. Can't get it near heaven, I guess. No wonder I can't say it. In fact, I think God goes around and plucks up every dang fence that we put down. And I think God puts us in the business of plucking up those fences and walls and borders of all kind that we are so quick to put up to protect ourselves and to protect our crops and whatever it is that we hold so tightly in our hands and in our hearts and in our minds, curled to a fist, right? Can you receive anything when your hand is in a fist? So will you uncurl your fist and help me uncurl mine, wide enough to receive something new that we cannot earn? Will you help me tear down my fences as I help you take down yours? Will you stop worrying about what's fair long enough to receive today's grace? And will you help me do the same? I have one more favor. I want you to imagine something with me. Okay, I'm going to paint a picture, and I want you to walk into it with me. Imagine that you and me, we're going to lunch, and we're hungry, which, well, it isn't very hard to, if this mic were down here, you'd probably be hearing some thunder because I am hungry, and you may be hungry, but imagine you and me, we're hungry, and we're on our way to get something to eat. And there's a long, long line in front of us, and we're not sure this is the right line, but you know what? It's lunchtime, and the map says the dining hall is this way. And so you and me, we just step into this line, and we start waiting for a while. And it's hot in the line, and we stand there stewing and simmering. And did that person just cut in front of us? And somebody's squeezing in front of us. You know, that just slows down the line, and we're standing there getting frustrated a little bit, and we're slowly moving up. And then we get up around the bend, And we can see this wide open field. And there are these wooden picnic benches all over the field, painted green. And on these wooden picnic tables are those white and red checkered tablecloths, you know, and the edges are blowing up a little bit in the breeze. And on top of the table are glasses, glass glasses, with ice cubes and lemonade and water and sweet tea and pitchers and food on the table, and it smells better than the salt lick. Oh, there's a breeze blowing this way. Oh, that breeze feels good. It's hot out here, right? And we're under these huge live oak trees, swaying in the breeze under a brilliant blue sky. And you and me, we look at each other and smile, like, can you believe this? Can you believe this? And then we step out just for a minute out of the line to see what is up there. What is the holdup at the front of this line? And you know what we see? There isn't a door. There isn't a gate. There's nobody standing there taking tickets in front of this line. So we look back this way and this way, and we can't see a fence or a rope line anywhere around this feast. Do you see all of this food? Can you smell that? And then we have to make a choice. Do you and me step back in that line and wait in the heat and whine some more? Do you step out and bolt for those tables? Mitchell, last one there is a rotten egg. Woohoo! We take off running. Do you turn around and say, hey, we got ice cream, y'all. There's food for everybody. Come on, what are you waiting here for? Quit jockeying for position. Let's go eat. I'm hungry. Or do you put up a fence and stand there and charge admission? What are you going to do? I do not see the kingdom of heaven high on this Masada-like mesa with these stone walls reaching way up above us that bends us over backwards to look up, and these golden, shiny, pearly gates and one flimsy little ladder. And I don't see this beautiful rolling hill of vineyards surrounded by barbed wire fences. Heaven, y'all, is wide open, and there's food on the table for everybody. Aren't you hungry? Man, I'm hungry. What are we waiting for? Will you pray with me? Like beggars, every one of us, oh God, kind of like your kid. We wait there with our hands out like plates. We wait for today's grace, oh God. May that be all we want. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.